In the first reading today, St. John, speaking of the vision that he had, talks about this innumerable group of people who are in heaven from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That is what we're celebrating today. Not so much the saints whose names we all know, but the great multitude even of the saints whose names we do not know. And if we look at our own selves, we could probably suggest that maybe, but doubtfully, maybe somebody here will someday have the name saint put in front of their name. The rest of us probably will not. That means that there are lots of saints in heaven whose names nobody knows. But they are there. They have loved God in this world, they have lived their faith, and they have now received their reward. There are certainly the great ones whose names we all know and whose those people that we put saint in front of their name. And they are great examples to us. And what we recognize even in all of those saints whom we know, that there is no one way of becoming a saint. There are some saints who are martyrs. There are some saints who are known for reconciling enemies. There are some saints who are known for their erudition. There are some saints who are known for defending the faith. There are some saints who are known for missionary work. All these different ways that people have become saints. And that is important for us to recognize because God is calling you to be a saint. And he's going to make you a saint according to your personality and according to your situation in life. And so it's necessary then that we go to prayer and ask him what it is that he wants. How does he want us to become saints? What is it that he's asking for from us? Because otherwise we might be tempted to read the lives of the saints and think, that's what I have to do. Not if that's not what God is calling you to. If God, for instance, is going to make you a saint by being a married person who has children, then he's probably not going to ask you to go to some foreign land and be a missionary. He could. There are some families that do that. But that's not the norm for a family. But even if God is calling you to be a husband or a wife, a mother or a father, even within that, it's going to be a little different for each and every person because your personality is different from others. Your spouse's personality is different from others. And consequently, the things that you have to deal with are going to be a little different. And so again, it's necessary that we seek the will of God. Now, the one thing that is a common denominator for all of the saints is love for God. There is no one who is going to get to heaven who doesn't have a love for God. And so that implies a prayer life. That implies striving to live a virtuous life, but implies doing that because we love the Lord. In other words, we can do the right thing, but for the wrong reason. Maybe we want to grow in virtue just to impress others. Maybe we just don't like what we see in ourselves, so we want to change that. But what we really want is to do the right thing for the right reason. Make the changes that we need to make, but because of the love of God and the love of neighbor. Not to impress anybody else, but rather to be able to love God more perfectly. To be able to live a holy life in the midst of the situation in which we find ourselves. In that general situation, which is common to all of us, As I've told you many times, there has never, ever in the history of the church been a better time to be alive if you want to be a saint. So, yes, you have to live that within your own circumstances of life, but we have to live it in this mess of a world that we live in, and in the troubled church in which we are living right now. And so we need to make sure that our focus remains where it belongs, and that is on our blessed Lord. Now, when we listen to what St. John saw, it is similar to the vision that the prophet Ezekiel had when the people had come to destroy Jerusalem. And God said, before you do that, we need to mark the foreheads of those who have been faithful to God. And we see that same thing here in the reading today, that before we do any harm to the earth or the sea or the trees, we have to seal the servants of our God. When you go back to the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the word in Hebrew for a mark on the head is tau. Well, there is a Greek word, in fact, there is a Greek letter that is tau, and it looks like a T. It's a cross. The fathers of the church recognized all of this and said, it is the mark on your forehead. You are marked with the cross, and you have been so marked. On the day that you were baptized with sacred chrism, the priest made the sign of the cross on your forehead. You were sealed with the cross of our blessed Lord. If you are confirmed, on the day that you were confirmed, the bishop once again with sacred chrism made a mark of the cross on your forehead, sealing you once again for God. And so when we look at what is being stated, that has already happened for you. Now what needs to happen is that we have to live it. It is one thing to be able to be sealed with the sign of the living God, but that's not magic. It is a choice that God has made for you. God has chosen you for himself. But this has to be a two-way street. Think of it on the natural level. Think back maybe when you were a teenage kid or something and you thought that you were just head over heels in love with somebody, and that is going to be my spouse. Well, as things turn out, sometimes doesn't happen. That person doesn't become your spouse. But you sure thought that they were. Well, it takes two people to be able to be in love with one another. It takes two people to be united in marriage. We are called to be in love with God. He's already in love with us. But it takes two to be in a relationship of love. So God is going to continue to love us. The question is whether we're going to allow ourselves to be loved and whether we're going to love him in return. We have a free will. We can say no. And so the fact that we are sealed by God and the fact that God has chosen us is an absolutely glorious reality. But now we have to turn it the other way and say, am I choosing God? Not just generically, not just the question of, gee, if there are two options of where I'm going to spend eternity, which one would I prefer? That's not the question. The question is, am I willing to strive to love God with my whole heart and soul and strength? Am I really willing to put in the time for prayer every single day? Am I really willing to try to conform myself to the will of God? Do I really want to know God's will so that I can carry it out in my life? Or do I just want to do my own will and give lip service to God? The saints strove to do the will of God. And so they have set wonderful examples for us. And while, of course, we can certainly read about the lives of the saints, I suspect that in most of our lives, we have somebody much closer to us who has been a fine example. Maybe it's a mom or a grandma or a cousin or an uncle or whomever it might be that we look up to when we see somebody who's lived the faith, somebody who was persecuted, maybe even in the family because of what they were doing. Maybe they struggled outside in the world because they wanted to live their faith in Christ and people didn't recognize it or accept it. But that person wasn't willing to back down. That person was going to continue to try to live a virtuous life, to treat the people who persecuted him with charity. And we know the charity, we know the love of that person because they allow that love to be given to us as well. That's the example then that you want to follow. Certainly we can look at the great saints, but we have those saints that are right there in our lives. And we can look to them. Those, once again, are the ones that we're celebrating today. And the wonderful thing is that the saints are with us. They are in heaven, but they are with us. St. Paul said in his letter to the Hebrews that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on. They're helping us. They're praying for us. They're doing what they can to help us. Now the question, once again, is are we willing to receive their help? Are we willing to ask? Are we willing to open our hearts to be able to hear what they're trying to tell us? Because God has provided everything, but sometimes we're just not even aware of it. But what a wonderful thing to know that we're not in this alone, that we have innumerable saints in heaven, all those people that nobody knows about. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people praying to some of the great saints whose names we know. But nobody is probably praying to some of the saints that you know. And so that's what we can do, is ask for their prayers, ask for their help. They're saints. That's what they want to be able to do. They want to help us. They want to pray for us. They want us to be able to be in heaven. They want us to be saints too. And what a wonderful thing. Again, they're not looking down upon us. They're trying to lift us up. They're not thinking that they're somehow better than we are, because they've already lived it. They lived in circumstances similar to ours, and they became saints by living that out. And so they are compassionate. They are charitable. And they are going to love us, and they are going to help us. So within your own life, look at that question of what God is asking of you. In general, we know He wants you to be a saint. And to be a saint means to be like God. So we know then that to do this, we are to know and to love and to serve the Lord. But that's a pretty generic statement. What does that look like in your life? Not how do I think that it ought to happen. How does God want that to happen? What is God asking of me in my state in life? How does He want me to be the best husband or wife? How does He want me to be the best mother or father? How does He want me to be the best friend that I can be, the best son or daughter, whatever it is, the best employee, the best whatever. By best, I don't mean competition with anybody else. I mean, how can you be the best person as God created you to be? That's what He's asking of you. He doesn't care, if you put it into an academic situation, as I always tell the kids, God doesn't care if you get straight A's or if you get B's or C's. What he cares is that you're doing the best you can. And if the best you can do is getting a B, God is perfectly happy with that. If you had the capacity to get an A and you decided just to get a B or a C, he's not going to be too impressed because you had a far greater capacity. So again, it's not who got the valedictorian. It's, did you do the best that you could do? So now apply that to wherever you're at. For students, yeah, that's what you want to look at. For parents, for employees, for bosses, whatever it is, how can you be the best that you can be? How can you be the saint? To be the example, to be the one who's going to help those other people around you. So you've got the help from the saints in heaven, but God is asking you also to be a saint for the people around you, to love them, to bring the light of the Lord into the darkness of their lives, to bring charity into an absolutely selfish world. That's something every single one of us is capable of doing, and only with the help of God. So that's what we can look at, each and every one of us, and ask, what's that going to look like in my life? How does God want me to do this with the people in my life, in the situations in my life? What does it really look like to love God and to love neighbor with my whole heart and soul and strength? That is the saint that God is calling you to be. Those are the people who we celebrate today who have already lived it, and they are the ones that we want to celebrate with for eternity. Because God already loves us with his whole, well, he doesn't have a heart and soul, but nonetheless, if we put it that way, God loves us with his whole heart and soul and strength. He loves us 100%. How much do we love him? The souls in heaven love him 100%. That's what we want to be striving toward, to keep moving. Maybe today it's only 30 or 40 or 50%. Let's just keep it moving forward so that by the time God calls us home, we have achieved that 100%. Because what is heaven going to be? It's going to be union with God. It is going to be loving him with our whole heart and soul and strength and receiving 100% of his love. He doesn't want you to wait until you get there for that to happen. He wants that to start now. So that's what he's calling each and every one of us to. So bring it to prayer and simply ask the Lord in your life, in your situation, what's that going to look like?